so good. Come on, Miller. Nice, nice, nice. Man, church, I love it when that happens, man. There's just a fire in my spirit when it's like, yes, come on. So good to see you this morning. Man, we just, I just want to take a minute, though. We're just going to pray in a second. A lot of people are sick. A lot of people, we get emails, we get texts, we get things. A lot of people are just sick this week, and there's that serious bug that's going around. And you probably know somebody who's sick or a family member sick, and you're here flying solo because your spouse or maybe your children are sick or whatever the case. But we're just going to pray for those in a minute. But just really being thankful today for you being here in the presence of God. Man, maybe you're new to BC. Maybe you're just checking us out. We're a simple bunch, man. We just want to love Jesus with everything in us, man. All of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just say, God, we want to love you together in a community that loves one another in the same way that you've loved us. And come together to celebrate God, celebrate our salvation, worship and honor him, ascribe to him that's what's really worth and due to him in worship. And we just come to a place as a church to say, let's just keep it simple. And then I'm listening to the announcement guy this morning, and I'm like, oh, there are so many announcements. This is a happening place. I'm getting pumped about it going, there's so many different things going on. Olivia and I experienced a wonderful night at the dads and daughters and just had a blast. And it was just great, man. Get plugged in. If you're new to BC, just get plugged in. We've got home groups every week in many different locations. You can get that at the Welcome Center. We've got all of these different special events that take a lot of time and prep, and they're worth it to get involved. Man, sign up, man. Get a part of this thing and what's taking place in this community, because it's special, man. It's amazing. And we're so, so blown away by what's happening. Thank you so much for being a part of this church and what God is doing here, man. It's so good. It's so good. Just want to preach this morning. We're going to talk about, we're in this Just Like series, and we're talking about husbands loving their wives just like Christ loved the church. This is where we're going to go. We're going to go to a place where this is on marriage. You know, if you've been here any length of time, man, I hit on marriage often. This isn't a marriage series. This is a Just Like series. And one of the big Just Likes that absolutely moves in our everyday is husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church. Now, this is for you. If you are married, this is for you. If you are not married, this is for you. If you're married and don't want to be married, this is for you. So don't hit them like that. Don't do that. Say, listen, honey, pay attention. This is our boat right here. No, listen, this is going to be a great word to men, which makes it a great word for the ladies, which makes it a great word for those who are single, which makes it a great word for those, if you're a single lady, you pay attention to what you're looking for. And if you're a single man, you pay attention to who you need to be. And if you're in marriage, man, today's going to change your world. It's going to change your marriage. And I love this because there is a Just Like in here that's a serious tall order for us men. It's a tall order. You mean I'm supposed to love Renee the same way that Christ loved me? That's what he said. That's what we're called to do. It's a command. Husbands, love your wives. The big question is, do we? Does our marriage and how I honor my wife and love my wife and respect my wife and care for my wife and serve my wife and speak into my wife, does it look the same way that Jesus did for us? It's a serious, serious question. Man, it's going to bless us. Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Man, bless your word as it goes forth. God, help us to hear from you today. Help us walk out challenged and changed and different today. God, those of us who are in marriage, God, make it better today. God, help us to see where we're at in this today and make it even better. Those who aren't married, God, that we would grasp this, that we would get a hold of this and say, this is who I'm going to be, or this is who I'm waiting for. God, whatever side it is, Lord, we just ask that you would move in this place in a real way. Father, we do pray for those who are sick and those who are ill. God, we just ask that you would heal their bodies. God, that their faith would be made strong in this, God, and they would walk in a way that is a manner even pleasing to you, even in the sickness, God, that you would come to a place to heal their bodies, that they would be strong to be able to go to work tomorrow, strong to be able to function at home. And God, I just pray for the children who are sick, that you would just heal their bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, come on. Come on, turn with me a couple places. We are going to Ephesians 5. We're going to find this passage, and then we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Ephesians 5, Romans chapter 8. Man, it's so good. I love church. Church, I love church. I hope that you are falling in love with the work of the church and what is taking place here with, I say, is the greatest people on the planet, man. It's amazing. We are blessed. So we're looking at Romans 8, and we're looking at Ephesians 5. Romans 8, Ephesians 5. We'll start right here in Ephesians 5. It says this. Verse 25, it's simple. Well, actually, I want to start in verse 18. I want to start in verse 18. It says this. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I love where before he even goes into the whole, this is possibly one of the greatest few verses, a half of a chapter on marriage. And if you can just grasp Ephesians 5 on marriage, listen, the Bible is filled with marriage. It starts right in the very beginning. God created marriage. He created husband and wife. And when you come to this place to realize this and understand this, you come to understand what the reality is of Scripture. And Ephesians 5, the second half of this whole chapter is one of the deepest parts of speaking in regards to husband and wife. But I love where it starts in 18, where it says you're to be filled with the Spirit. And to be filled, it means being kept filled. What happens when you walk into a husband and wife relationship functioning from a place of being full of the Spirit with fruits such as love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control? What happens when you walk into a place, say, okay, if I'm going to walk in the proper marriage, then I need to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and I need to walk out in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that in my marriage, it'll look like a husband and a wife who are functioning from a place of love, from a place of joy, from a place of peace, from a place of being patient, from a place of being kind. And I love that we come back to a place right here in Ephesians 5, verse 18, where it talks about, listen, when you act out in the fullness, be being kept full. Man, God, fill me with your Spirit today. Help me to walk out in the fruits of the Spirit today. And you just begin to memorize Galatians 5. And you begin to memorize 22 and 23. Begin to memorize the fruits of the Spirit, that you say, I want to be being kept full of the Spirit. Man, I want to walk in a sense of patience. I want to walk in that place of joy. I want to walk in that place of love. And what happens when we just are trying to grasp what it is to be a husband that wants to love just as God loved, just as Christ loved the church? Well, it starts with us walking in a place to realize the vitality, man, the absolute importance of what it is to be full of his Spirit, be being kept full. It's a day in and day out. God, I need your presence today. God, I need your Spirit today. I need to walk out in your Spirit. Listen, we are full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reigns within us. When you get saved, his Spirit comes into your world. It's not like he has left you, but it's that conscious awareness of, I want to walk out in your Spirit today, man. I want to walk out in the fullness, being kept full of a conscious awareness that your Spirit is in me, and I want to function in that sense. That's so vital to where we're going today, because you need to see it. You got to see it. And I love this. Here it is. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Verse 21, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Here it is. But as the church is subject to Christ, here starts the comparison of church and Christ and husband and wife. So also the wife ought to be to their husbands and everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as, or your version may say, just like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Man, we can just, I love it, because when we begin to teach Bible and understand reading Bible and Bible marking, which we're going to hopefully here in the near season, Sunday night, we're going to take a couple Sunday nights in a row to do Bible marking, Crayola Twistable Bible marking. But one of the things, we look at what drives the verse. What are the words that drive the verse that we're trying to learn and understanding? And then beginning to ask questions about the Bible, going deep, because you could just fly right over this verse and just not get it. Okay, I get it. There's marriage verses. Let's read them at the wedding. Perfect. Let's get over it and let's move on. But listen, you got to park here and you got to stop. And if the Bible says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for the church, that you have to, man, you've got to stop and say, okay, then how did Christ love the church? Because then you can define what that looks like to a husband loving his wife. And man, where is that picture for you and I that you come to a place to actually make a list? Well, Jesus, Matthew 20, 28 says, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus loved the church so much that he didn't come to be served. And we gotta pick this up, man. We gotta pick it up as men and say, listen, if I'm going to love my wife just like Christ loved the church, if I'm gonna do it in that same manner, then I have to serve my wife in the same way that Christ served the church. He gave his life for the church. There's a sacrifice. There's a serious sacrifice that looks like, say, listen, I will do whatever it takes, sacrificing my own self, sacrificing my own desires, sacrificing who I am for my wife, in a sense, in the same way that Jesus did for me. Man, I need to be a man who's going to be the head of my house, but I'm going to be the greatest servant of my house because that's who Christ was for the church. Man, what happens when you understand and change a picture of what it is to serve your wives? And all the wives said, that would be a great place, wives, for you to scream amen. Let's try that one more time. And all the wives said, amen. Oh, nice. That we do, we understand what it really looks like when a man serves his wife because Christ came to serve the church. We understand what it looks like when a man sacrifices for his wife, when a man understands what it looks like when a man is going to love in the same way with this unconditional, undeniable, undefeatable love. So it's what happens when us as men, and I love this because I love to speak to the men. What happens when us as men get it in a way of loving with an unconditional love, a love that really is a love that there's no condition on how I love you. I'm not going to love you less today because of this or that. I'm going to love you the same. And I'm going to love you the same, and I'm going to love you the same, and tomorrow I'm going to love you the same, and next month I'm going to love you the same, and you come to this place, and I'm saying in an unconditional way where it's not getting less. I love that we are not perfect. We serve a God who has a perfect love for us, but we can't walk in that perfection of love. Man, he loves us unconditionally. What is it when we put that bar to say, man, in the same way that he loves me unconditionally, I want to love you in that same sense that I'm not going to put a condition on my love for you. And listen, the more, and I love this because the more, men, the more that you fall in love with Jesus and the more that you dive into the word and the more that you study Christ to know him and the more that you see, man, I see how my level with you and understanding of you and growing in the knowledge of you and who you are in my life, man, your love for me is so deep and it continues to grow and I get a greater understanding of that. I love it because when the men catch that and turn, according to this verse, we're supposed to in turn and then love our wife with an increasing love to a sense, the more I know and the greater I grow to him and the more I'm towards him and see his love for me, then in turn, my love should grow for my wife and I should walk in the same distance in the same way as his love is for me. So the greater and the closer you get to Jesus, please hear it, man, the closer you're going to get to your wife. Because you're supposed to love her the same way that he loves you. And when you get a deeper understanding of his love for you, your love should grow deeper for her. Man, what a system. How beautiful is that picture to know what it looks like to walk in a way to say, I want to love you with an unconditional love. I want to love you with a love that is undeniable. Because God demonstrated his love for us that yet while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. So when you understand that it's a demonstrated love on our worst day. What happens when you get married and you know, of course, on that wedding day, everyone is like, oh, he loves her so much. Look at how beautiful it is. And he's so romantic. And look how kind he is to her. And it's great. And just really, man, it just even leading up to this thing, it's just undeniable how much he loved his wife. And then you wait 5 years. And then you're in 10 years. And then you get to the 15-year mark. And then, you hit 20-year mark, and you come to this place, are the same people looking in. Please hear this, man. This is so real. Are the same people looking in going, you know what? It's amazing because remember 20 years ago at the altar, that love for her was just such a, nobody could deny how much he loved her. Wouldn't it be amazing if that increases to a point 25 years in, you walk in a place, the same people are going, man, it is still undeniable how much he loves her. You can't even deny. Over the years, there's been growth, and over the years, he's loved her with his deeper love. Wouldn't it be amazing that we could function in a place as Christ loved the church? It was undeniable, still to today, how much he loves you and I and how much he loved the church. What happens if that sense grows in our marriage, that year after year after year after year after year, people looking in going, man, he loves her. And it's just, you can't even deny how much he loves his wife. And it just seems to get better, and it seems to get better, and it seems to get better, and it seems to get better. Because that's how Christ loved the church, with the love that is undeniable and can't be denied. It's an unconditional love. It's an undeniable love. And please hear this. It's a love. Please hear this. It's a love that's faithful. And it's a love that is loyal. And it's a love that is true. And it's a love, please hear this, it's a love that's undefeatable. It can never, ever be defeated in how he loves us. And when you can grasp this, husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church. Yes, I want to be more patient because he's patient with me. Yes, I do want to be a greater servant. Absolutely. Yes, I want to have compassion just the way he had compassion. Man, I want to forgive in the same way that he forgave me in marriage, in my home. Man, I want to walk in, and you can go down a beautiful and write a beautiful list of, man, he has been this to me, and I want to be this to Renee, and he has been this to me, and man, I want to be this to Renee, and he's been patient with me, and I want to be patient with Renee, and he's been kind to me, and I want to be kind to Renee. But when you come to this place and say, his love, it can't ever be defeated. What happens when you walk into marriage as a husband and wife, where you know as a wife that you have such a confidence as a wife to say, listen, the love he has for me, it cannot be defeated. I have a husband who is loyal. I have a husband who's going to be faithful. I have a husband who I can trust. I have a husband. And you walk, ladies, you walk in his place. Why? Because we have Christ, who is our King, who loved the church, and he is faithful, and he is loyal, and he is true, and you can count on him, and you can bank on him, and you can trust in him, and he is going to be faithful. And I love this, because in the same way, church, please, in the same way, we're to walk in the same way as Christ did to the church with their wives, that they can turn and say, I trust you, you are loyal, you are faithful, you can walk down to this place to say, listen, our love, it can never be defeated. Because I see how Christ has loved the church, but man, I see how you love me. What happens, man, if we come to this place to say, listen, it is an undefeatable love. And the only way I can do that is because I see Christ's love for me is this undefeatable love. And you come to a place to say, there's nothing that can separate us. And let's please turn to Romans 8. And we see where there is this love picture that Christ has for us in Romans 8 that's just such a beautiful, beautiful picture. Man, I want to walk through this in just a little bit so you can see this. And just to know, like, ladies, you didn't marry Christ, okay? Let's just put a disclaimer out there that you may want him to be perfect, but he's not. We're not. And you come to this place to realize when you read scripture going, you know, men, we do have a tall order to love just like Christ loved the church, but we are that which is imperfect, and we don't compare ourselves to that which is perfect because we just can't, because we're not him. And you didn't marry Mr. Perfect. And so you come to this place when you read something like this, you're looking for the quality of what it is to have an undefeatable love. That's what you look for, because you can pick scriptures out. Romans 8 is an amazing, amazing picture of a love that can't fail, a love that can't be defeated. And if we would grasp what we need to grasp out of this, and not walking in that sense of trying to be just perfect, because we're not, we come to this place to balance in a sense going, man, it is my desire to love you like this. It's my desire that you would never have a fear of unfaithfulness. You never have a fear of distrust. I want you to know that no matter what we go through, no matter what comes down our pipe, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what happens in our marriage, no matter what happens in our children, no matter what happens in our finances, no matter what is taking place, we're better together. We're better together. And we fight this thing together. Because there is this love that is demonstrated, and there is this love that we can tap into that is not our own. And we see it here in Romans 8. It's an amazing picture here, and I want you to see this. Come on, if you would just follow with me in this, and just look at this. Verse 35 says this: Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. And I love this because this is, I go over this and I go over this and I go over this. Church, your marriage, it needs to be worked on. Men, work on your marriage. Men, work on your ability to love your wife no matter what. Work on the ability of what it looks like in your marriage to love just as Christ loved the church. And we all miss the mark. I have missed the mark more than I should miss the mark. In all reality, you come to this place saying, listen, this is who I strive to be for my bride. This is who I strive to be for Renee. Because, man, it is my heart's desire to love Renee in the same way that Christ loved the church. Knowing what patience looks like. Knowing what it means to be kind. Knowing what it means to be faithful. Knowing what it means to be unconditional. Knowing what it means to be undeniable. Knowing what it means to be undefeatable. And you land right here in a perfect picture of his love for us. Man, I tell you, it's one of those passages that you look at and say, are you serious? That's who I'm supposed to be as a husband? Husbands, love your wives. Just like Christ loved the church, and this is what it says. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered sheep to the slaughter. 37, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, depth, or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I look at this, and I am making a comparison to this into a sense of, okay, if you're telling me to love my wife, I've worked on boiling this thing down to saying, listen, I'm not Christ. I'm not perfect. But you know what I come to a place to land on in this? I know this for sure, that the love of Christ for me is permanent. It is a permanent love for me. So when I apply that to my wife, I want my love for Renee to be a permanent love, to know that I can bank on this forever. I can be assured that you're going to love me forever, no matter what we go through, no matter the trials of life, no matter the persecutions of life, no matter the struggles in life, no matter ever where we land in life. The one thing that I know is in the same way that Christ loves me, that his love for me is permanent. I know that you are going to love me in the same way that your love for me is a permanent love. What happens when we walk in that place to really be able to see a love that God has for us through Christ is a permanent love for the church, permanent? And you come to a place to say, man, I want my marriage. I want to walk in a way of being a husband, to have a love that is a permanent love for my wife, a love that is faithful, a love that is loyal, a love that is true. Because that's how he loves the church. What happens when you grasp this just like thought from Scripture? See, Colossians 1:19, it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them, but do not be embittered with them. I love this. Husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. Don't be short with them. Don't be embittered towards them. When you get into a lot of different marriage scriptures, it references the husband and his treatment towards his wife. And what happens when you really come to a place, I want to love my wife, man. I want to love Renee. I don't want to be harsh. I don't want to be embittered. I don't want, and you come to that place saying, listen, the same way that Christ is tender with me, in the same way that he treats me, I want to treat my wife. You come to the place, even in 1 Peter 3:7, it talks about husbands in the same way. Love your wives in an understanding way. Like, understand your wife. And the Bible says to honor her as a weaker vessel. And doesn't mean less than. It has nothing to do with equality or quality. It has to do with strength. Listen, if I arm wrestle Renee, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to beat Renee. If you arm wrestle your wife,
you should beat her.
I'm just saying. It's tough. talking about a physical thing. If you wrestle, that's what that's talking about. It has nothing to do with equality. It has to do with physical strength. It has to do with the man being the man. It has to do with the man protecting his wife. It has to do with the man, in a sense, to say, listen, I want to walk in a way to understand you. I want to walk away that I know you and I know your desires and I know your needs and I know who you are. And I tell this, it's a great refresher time, because even in premarital counseling, I say, listen, find a picture and put right under the picture of your wife, fragile, handle with care. That's what that verse means. Fragile, handle with care. And man, when you come to a place to walk in a sense, man, I want to work hard to understand my wife. I want to work hard to know what she wants, to know what she desires. I want to work hard to understand that, listen, she is fragile and I need to handle her with care. Why? Because I want to love my wife and not be harsh towards her. I want to walk towards my wife and be honoring towards my wife and be gentle towards my wife. And every word that I speak matters, because death and life and the power of the tongue. What happens when we come to a place to land on Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church. Man, that's a huge, huge order. But I just want to read from Romans as we close out, because this is what I've been praying even this whole year, in a sense of what I want for our home, what I want for the people of this church, as I pray for you, as a part of Believer's Chapel. This is what it is, Romans 14 and Romans 15, Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit. What happens when you function in a place to have righteousness and peace and joy? Wouldn't that be like a great marriage? We just want to walk right before you, God. And man, we have this sense. And it was amazing, because it wasn't even planned, but God had the plan this morning, even reading from Psalms 85, where it talks about righteousness and peace. When they meet, they kiss each other. And here it is. In Romans, this is what I've been praying over my family and over this church and the people of this church. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be amazing if we just walk to a place as men, as the heads of our homes, to say, listen, I want to walk in a way of righteousness in our home. And I want to walk away that there is a rest and there is a peace in our home. There is harmony in our home. And in that, man, I want joy in our home. I want laughter in our home. I want that sense of connection in our home. I want that sense of what it is to always be toward each other. What's it look like when you have a husband and wife that are always towards each other and not always pushing away? And not always this side and that side. But what happens when you function in this place right here? I want this to be my home, because I want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit, there's righteousness, there's peace, and there is joy. And I want this to define my home. I love this. Chapter 15, 13 says this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love this. May the God of hope. Can I just say, even a sense that you, if you're here any length of time, you know, man, we're serious about our marriages, and we're serious about us as men acting like men. We're serious as wives respecting and honoring their husbands. And we're serious about the enemy just hates marriage, because it's a picture of Christ in the church. It's bigger than us. He hates it. What happens if you just come to a place to say, God, I need hope in my marriage? What happens when you turn to the God of hope? Now may the God of hope, here it is, fill you. I love that, because I want to be full. I want the God of hope. When I'm looking, I need hope. Man, I want the God of hope. I want him to fill me. I love this. To be full of joy and peace in believing, so that you will then abound in hope. The God of hope wants to fill you with joy and with peace, so that you and I can abound in hope. The God of hope, so that we can abound. That means overflow. and the God of hope, so we can abound or overflow in hope. Wouldn't that be amazing? If you come to a place to say, as the head of the house, wouldn't it be amazing if you're a single male in this place and you're like, that's who I want to be one day. That's how I'm going to be for my wife. Wouldn't it be amazing if you're a single lady in this place and you come to a place and say, I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold out. I'm holding out until he shows up. Not Mr. Perfect. He's not going to walk on water. He's not Jesus. But you come to a place and say, listen, I'm going to wait and hold out for that man. Because I want forever in my world to always be towards one another. Always towards each other. No room for separation. We got no room for division. And us as men would come to that place to own our own ground and to own our own space. There's been just something in my spirit, even through the training of our leaders, and is know your place and own your space. Know your place as the head of that house and own it. Know your place as the one who's supposed to love her. In the same way Christ loved. Know that. Own your space. Own that. I'm not going to leave room for division. And then what it is, when you have these two people always towards each other, she's moving towards you, you moving towards her. No room for division. Because I want to love Christ. I want to love my wife in the same way that Christ loved the church. And that is a permanent, faithful, loyal, true, trusted love that she can always be toward me. Because she knows that I'm faithful, and loyal, and true. And I need every man in this place to just stand to your feet. If you're married, if you're not married yet, this is for you. Just stand to your feet. If you are married, wives, put your hand right on them, please. We're just going to pray this morning. This is how we close this out. Now you can come up right up here because I love you. Get up here. You look so good today, Renee. I love the hat. I love the hat. Put your hands on your man. Right on my butt would be good. But anyways, did I say that out loud? Oh, my goodness. She loves me. See how she's towards me. Anyways, I love that. But let's just pray. Because, man, this is the deal. What if you truly came to a place to know your place and own your space? That today you walk out saying, I am going to love my wife just like Christ loved the church. Everything changes. I'm going to be towards my wife. And wives, you be towards your men. My love is going to be unconditional. It's going to be undeniable. It's going to be undefeatable. Because that's how Christ loved the church. My love for you is going to be permanent. It's a permanent love for you. And this, we're just going to ask God, change us in this. We can't do it on our own. You just can't. You can't do this on your own. You go back to a place, Father, by your Spirit. Man, I want to walk in the fullness of your Spirit. Father, we just come to you in this moment. We just ask that, God, we will know our place in this, that we are called to love in the same way that you love the church. That we would love our wives. There would be single men in this place say, I'm going to be married one day. And I'm going to set it up in my mind, in my heart, in my emotions. I'm going to set it up that I will love my wife in the same way that he loves the church. God, as men, we come to this place, say, God, change us and move in us in a real way today. God, in a real way, move in us today. God, fill us with your Spirit in this place today. God, that we would truly come to a place to say, God, I will know my place in this. I will love just as you have loved me. I love her that way, no matter what. I love her that way. And help me to own this, God. Help there be no room for division in this. There'll be no separate. We will be toward one another in this. My love for her, she'll know that it's a permanent love. It's unconditional. And the people all around will not ever be able to deny by any of my actions how much I love my wife. But they'll see it because it's bigger than me. It's a picture of Christ in the church. So Father, we ask in Jesus' name in this moment that every one of us in this place would understand what it is to love our wives just like you love the church. And how serious this is, how real this is in this moment. And Father, for those who are single in this place, don't let them blow this off. Don't let them blow this off, God. Help them to get this. There'll be a day that they're married. There'll be a day that this is applied, but God, let them get it in their spirit now, right now. I'll be that man. I'm going to know my place. When she shows up, I'm going to know my place, and I'm going to love her in the same way that you love me. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. And help us to take this challenge today as men and apply it. If we're convicted, God, help us to walk in that conviction and apply it and walk out challenged and walk out really convicted and walk out different from when we came in this place today. And the result, God, I pray over every marriage in this place and every household in this place that belongs to BC, God, that we would walk in a place of laughter and a place of true joy in our spirits, God, a place of true peace and true harmony, God, that we would walk in a manner that is right with you in our marriage, in our homes, that God, we would realize that it is bigger than us, can't do it on our own. We need you in this. And God, in that, where that place, God, let it be in our homes, where that place where righteousness and peace, they kiss each other, God, they meet and they walk in great harmony. And Father, I just pray for joy in our families, joy in our homes, joy in our children, joy in our spirits. God, let there be laughter. Let there be a lightheartedness in our homes, Father. For where laughter is, it is like medicine to the sick body. So, Father, we just pray for a sense of joy in our homes. That, God, it is led by us as the head of the house. God, that truly we'd come to a place to love our wives and not be harsh. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for giving us such an amazing picture. We can't deny it. It's not like you didn't show us how you loved us. You've given us everything that we need. We don't lack anything in this. You've given us everything we need to see how you've loved the church. We would just do the same. And that'll be the difference in our homes. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen.